There we go. If you can kneel, please do so. We're going to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for answered prayer. Thank you, first of all, for the forgiveness of sin and cleansing us from all unrighteousness and blessing us with the latter rain and the faith that moves the mountains. And Father, we thank you for giving us a desire in our hearts to do your will and to be blessed by you in every way, shape, and form. Thank you for answering our prayers last night in regards to the audio server and what the issue was. And thank you for revealing it so clearly. And thank you for blessing everybody that's on the prayer list, especially those that are lost and those that do the work that are on the front lines that are a target for the enemy of souls. And thank you for blessing our gathering with your presence, bridling my tongue and any tongue that speaks. And thank you again for always blessing us with your love on a daily basis and giving us opportunities to share that love with others. And we lift up this prayer to the best of our ability in the name of your Son, who is our Savior and our King, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen. All right, just a quick announcement here. Let me just see if Angela made it back in. It's hard to tell. I noticed that some folks are, like, from the old chat room. I've noticed we've got quite a few people that haven't come from the old chat room, and maybe they're listening on the phone, and they're thinking that they got to use their old passwords. And no, this is a completely different chat room. Your old passwords will not work here unless you put them in yourself. It used to be the old chat room where you would send me an email letting me know what your username is, and I would build a password and send it to you. And then you would come in. Now you do all that yourself, because when you register, it asks you what password you want to use. And if you want to use your old password, go for it. I can't read them. I can't see them on this side of the server. I can change them, but I'm not going to do that, because then I'd have to tell you what they are. But or email you. But anyway, yeah, so if you're having a hard time, because I noticed some are coming in as a guest, and I know that I've gotten emails from some that are saying that their passwords don't work, and it's only because I don't put the passwords in anymore. You got to do it yourself. So, yeah, so just re-register. But this time you register on the chat room page itself, where it actually has a button that says register. And then after you register, make sure you use your real email address and use a first name. Don't use, like, handles and stuff. And the reason you got to use your real email address is because the server, I don't do this, the server automatically will email you a link to click, and then when you click that link, it lets the server know that that email address was real. And then your password that you created that day, even if it's your old one, if you want to use your old one again, go for it, but then that password will work. And then you can come in and use the text chat or whatever. But because I noticed Sister Angela, she had to come in as a guest again. So, yeah, just re-register, Sister, or just email me after church, and I'll help you through it. And because I could put a user on as well, but then I got to have your email address, and then it's going to send you. It won't send you. If I get your email from you, I know your email address is real, so I just put it in, and I automatically can validate you there. Anyway, and I wanted to praise the Lord, too, for last night. Thank you for all your prayers, everybody. We had, I think we got up to about 38 families or 39 families in here last night, and I praise the Lord for discernment, because a month ago, well, actually a little over a month ago, I think it was on May 26th or 7th, that I downloaded the Wowza. It's got a weird name. It's an audio server. And then I bought it a week later, because we tested it in here, and we had quite a few people. We had 96 we tested. We kept on re-entering, and we got up to 96 families, and it worked fine. And so we purchased it, and then the guy told me just put in the, you all got the email. And so, but I wanted to just praise the Lord that right before I went to bed, he revealed to me to try that, because, and I also want to praise the Lord that just didn't upset me, because I'm kind of used to this. We've already lost. we missed church once for two straight weeks because of the previous server just dying. So, and Brother Ace brings up a good point. If you want to have multiple usernames, like you got a bunch of kids and you want to have the kids come in themselves, each person's going to have a different email address. Otherwise, you can't validate, because it'll say that email address is being used. And there's no way for me to change that. I thought there was, but there isn't. It's one email address per name. So you can get email addresses from Yahoo for free and stuff like that if you just wanted to validate. But anyway, why don't we start? We're in lesson number 16. If you're new, just up on the top of the chat room there, you can see where it says POGM Home, then it says Sabbath Evening Notes, and then it says Sabbath Day Studies, Sabbath Day Sermon Notes, and stuff like that, and the times we meet. Click Sabbath Day Study Notes, and it'll scroll you down to the page that's underneath the chat room. And it's where I question number 4 of lesson number 16. And if you don't want to read along, just click right where it says back to top, and you're in the chat room again. Or you can just scroll your mouse up and down and scroll. That's why I left a little gap around the chat room. I embedded the chat room in a web page, and that way on the left and on the right, this works well on a cell phone because you can't scroll up and down unless you have some dead HTML space on the sides of the chat room. And so you can just put your finger there, and you can scroll up and down real easy, and you can see the notes underneath for both the study and the sermon. All right, so we're on question number 1. And it's the question is, how closely are our lives examined? And thank you, Brother Gorin. I'm going to share verse 13 as well, brother, because it kind of like brings it into perspective here. So Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 13 and 14, it says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Why the author of the study didn't put verse 13 in it is, I don't know. But I like using verse 13 on the street a lot. And in, where people say, we don't have to keep the Ten Commandments anymore. And it says, but it's pretty plain that this is the whole duty of man. Plus, you could find every single solitary one of the Ten Commandments in the New Testament. All 10 of them are there. And I have them listed on my Law of God page on the website, along with every rebuttal and every rebuke and every twisted scripture that some of the Sunday-keeping type Christians of the world will give as to why it's okay to keep 9 of the 10 commandments but break number 4 whenever they want. Because they'll admit, oh, yeah, you're not supposed to kill people. You're not supposed to lie. You're not supposed to take the Lord's name in vain and so on and so forth. But it's perfectly okay to break his Sabbath. And that's the one he specifically stated in Commandment number 4, which is Exodus 20, verses 8 to 11, that we should remember, because that is the only commandment that has a prophetic statement in it. And that prophetic statement is the word remember. Because we know what happened in Daniel chapter 7, where the beast is prophesied to change the laws, the times and laws. And so all the world also wanders after the beast, as we also know from Revelation. And so everybody goes to church on Sunday because the prophecy said they would. And Sunday was the times and laws things because it's the only commandment that deals with times in the law, and it's not just the times of the Ten Commandments that the Vatican changed. If you notice, the calendars themselves have been doctored by the Vatican as well, so that no one really knows the day that we're in right now. It could be anywhere from 30 to 40 years difference, and that's why you got AD and so on, and AD and BC and stuff like that. Messed up. They're saying that Jesus Christ was born 3 or 4 years in one calendar, whereas 30 or 40 years off in another or something like that. Depends on what type of calendar. Most people today use the Gregorian calendar, which is Catholic, because most people were, I mean, like civil authorities and stuff like that were Roman. Just like today, the Supreme Court, the majority is Roman Catholic. The majority of the Congress is Catholic. The majority of the Senate is Catholic. And that's no mistake. So, good question. The question coming to me in a PM is, does that mean that commandment number 4 is the most important? Yes. It is, I would believe, one of the most important. They're all very, very extremely important. You break one, you break them all. As a matter of fact, I have a web page on the site about that, as well as a video, which I talk about. If you break one of the commandments, you've actually broken all 10. And there's a way to prove it, too, just by using common biblical sense. But yeah, commandment number 4 is important too because it shows a lot of things when a Christian keeps it. I mean, you could literally be Helen Keller and tell the people without saying a word that you're a commandment keeper by doing different things on the seventh day of the week. You don't have to say anything. You could just, by keeping Sabbath holy, you can declare the Creator your God. Because commandment number 4, besides the fact that it's prophetic and it acknowledges his prophecy is 100% accurate, because now we see most of the Christian world keeps this, the Sunday holy when there's not a Bible verse from Genesis to Revelation says they should. So that prophecy is accurate there. But the fact of the matter is, it acknowledges our God as the God, the creator of all things that are seen and unseen, because commandment number 4 declares that we should rest and remember that which he has created on the day that he rested when he got done creating things. He finished creating. He created things for 6 literal days, and they weren't 1,000-year days, because I know the Bible says a day equals 1,000 years unto the Lord, and 1,000 years equals a day unto him. But that's figuratively speaking. It's just like, you know, time flies when you're having fun kind of a thing. We all know it doesn't really fly. You could stare at a pot, and it's still going to, like when you put on the hot water, it's still going to take just as long to boil as if you look away. But if you're looking away and you're doing something, it gets away from you, and all of a sudden it boils over. And so, but anyway, it is the most important because it acknowledges him as our king and our creator. It acknowledges that we should obey him, and it acknowledges we understand Ecclesiastes here, which says that the whole conclusion of the whole matter is to fear God and keep his command, you know, keep his commandments. And we know a lot of people say, well, the commandments are mentioned in the New Testament before Jesus hung on the cross and stuff like that. And I says, yeah, well, there's a lot more mentions of the Ten Commandments after he resurrected too, but they don't know that because their churches won't preach it. And plus, the Ten Commandments, especially the 4th one, acknowledges him. And remember when Jesus says, by their fruits you shall know them? Anybody could say that Jesus is their Lord. Anybody can say, I won't kill, I won't, you know, bear false witness, I won't steal, I won't do this, I won't commit adultery, you know, whatever, you know, they won't keep the commandments. But if they go to church on Sunday, you know right off the bat that they're not an obedient Christian. That is one of the easiest commandments to see that they're breaking. Because most people commit murder behind closed doors. They're not going around killing people in front of people, right? Most people lie, and they do it in such a way you can't even tell, and so on and so forth, right? But commandment number 4, you can easily see. It's a nice red flag for us when we know who to hang with and who not to hang with. So, you know, but anyway. But yeah, and plus, commandment number 4 acknowledges the seal of God upon your heart. And because it lets the world know, and those that have eyes that see and understand what it means, when we are sealed by the Holy Spirit, it's only because we're obedient and keeping all 10 of the commandments, which means that includes number 4, confirms that we are obedient, and so that we have the seal of the living God upon us. But still, you got to be careful anyway. You got to use that discernment, because there's people out there like Seventh-day Adventists that claim to keep the seventh day, and they're not really Christians. I mean, not all of them. I'm not saying all of them are like this, you know, because we still have some brethren in there. We know what Revelation 18 says, and he calls them my people. And so they got to come out, though, to be completely obedient. And the day is coming when they're going to know, just like anybody else, that, okay, enough with this self-deception, enough with the opinions and everything. You know, whatever God says is it, and you got to go with it. But anyway, getting back to this Ecclesiastes 12, verses 13 and 14, this one passage alone proves that the Christians of today are in a state of lukewarm deception when they think they don't have to keep the law. I mean, every Christian alive, whether they be obedient or not, no judgment is either done when Jesus comes, or as the obedient one knows, judgment is done before Jesus returns. So it doesn't matter if they believe in the investigated judgment like we do, or they don't. In any event, they all agree that judgment is something that happens during the New Testament period of the church. So it doesn't matter to some extent in that respect. And this is why I read verse 13 as well. I mean, verse 14 is obviously speaking of the judgment that all Christians agree happens during the current time frame of the church. Yet the preceding verse not only declares the fact that keeping the commandments is the whole duty of man, having it precede that verse speaks of judgment, that speaks of judgment confirms it is by the law man is judged. In fact, James chapter 2, verse 12 says, all mankind shall be judged by the law of liberty. So getting back to the question wherein how closely our lives are judged, if the law of God is a standard of judgment, then we are judged very closely indeed. And which leads to the next question, what kind of things will come up in the judgment? All right, so that's question number 5. What kind of things will come up in the judgment? And Matthew 12, verse 36, and Brother Damon is sharing verse 37. I didn't post it. But anyway, verse 36 says, but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof on the day of judgment. You know, this is why, remember the old chat room? I had that little slide over thing that showed up in the old chat room when you enter the room on the Sabbath day. When you clicked it, it would slowly slide over to the right, and you would see Matthew chapter 12, verse 36, printed out inside it, right? Well, all too often, people have a tendency to say things in a text chat or behind a computer screen they wouldn't normally do face-to-face, especially if they use fake names. This is why we insist all those registering for the chat conference room use their real first name. I don't want our gathering to be a vehicle for someone that is to be tempted to sin. And so if you use like a fake name or something like that, it's very easy to do things and people won't know it's really you. But here's the problem. If you are someone that we know, if you are someone that I know, let's just say, there is a way for me to match up a guest with an actual user and find out if they're one and the same, or at least that guest is coming from the same computer as the other one. You know, I'm not going to divulge as to how that can happen, but it happens very easily. It's just the way the server was built. And so anyway, this is also why it is very dangerous to do, as some have done recently, against this ministry and this church. As you know, some have left our number after falling into sin, like a little over a year ago. Is when it really started. I mean, it was actually getting bad for about 2 years ago, and we were doing everything we can to help those souls. But it, many did stay, were involved in certain situations, of course, but some did not. And they have then gone so far as to send out mass emails as well as published newsletters that were filled with lies and slander and whatnot. But this man and his friend will have to answer to the Lord for each and every word they placed in those false reports. And this is why I am extremely careful when I respond. I never would send out a mass email, unless in defense. Like if a mass email was sent out and I was able to hit reply all, well then yeah, I'm going to answer the accusation if it's worth my time. Only complete repentance and confession can prevent their demise right now for those people that have done those things. And so please keep them in prayer. Many of you know who exactly I'm talking about, but I don't think I need to mention any names. And I don't think our Father knows, and that's all that matters. But our Father also knows we love them that much to do the right thing is what we did and how we approached this with gospel order. And gossip is another means by which the people can be judged unworthy of heaven for obvious reasons. I mean, and this is all touches on Matthew 12:36 again. I mean, even exaggeration can prevent entry in that exaggeration is in fact a lie, and most, of course, are. Yes, some will call that a little white lie or a little fib, but that's only Satan's way of convincing them it's no big deal. I mean, a lie is a lie, no matter how big or how small. And according to Matthew 12:36, even the slightest or smallest of lies, little idle words, will be looked at by our Lord. And this is why it irks me when I see loved ones. But I hope and pray that they don't know or understand Matthew 12:36 when they do things like this, because you're in extreme danger if you do. But anyway, the study goes on to share from Psalm 50, verse 23, that says, "To him that ordereth his conversation aright, will I show the salvation of God." I mean, think about that. Your own tongue. Some like to call it that pink dragon, because it can be really mean, You can do a lot more damage with the tongue than you can with the fist. But think about that. Your own tongue can cause you to lose your salvation. And what are some examples of vital words or lies that everyone seems to do? Before the days when caller ID was on every single phone available, some people would ask a friend to answer the phone and if a certain person they didn't want to talk to that day was on the phone, they would ask them to say they weren't home. That is a lie. Most people have used in life many, many times. Or what if a friend came into a room wearing an outfit that looked absolutely ridiculous? Do you tell them they look great after they ask you how they look? If so, you just lied. Would it not be better to simply say, well, I've seen you look better? I mean, you don't have to be insulting and say, oh my gosh, you look disgusting. You look like a, you can come up with some, descriptive language without using naughties, But you could just say, I've seen you look better. Do you really want to go out, wearing that? I mean, another example of an idle word is when you're talking about someone or something someone did to you or a loved one. When you explain the event to another, that is not only idle speech, but it is almost always leads into embellishment of the event. This is the basic definition of gossip. You know, it's just like with, I remember this when I was a kid. Some old guy explained to me, because I used to love, and I still do, I like talking to people that are much older than myself. And when I was a little kid, I would go up to the old people and just talk to them. And because I wanted to say, what was it like before I was born? You know, that kind of stuff. You're a little kid. You got tons of questions, right? And the topic of gossip would come up. And a good explanation was one day this a woman, as scripture would call her, a busybody. All right. And a busybody is a woman that just sits there looking to gossip. All right. So she's looking out the window, and a little girl is walking down the street, and an old man walks up to her and gives her a little peck on the cheek and calls her and pats her on the head. You little cutie. Okay. Now this is in the 1950s or 60s, early 60s, right? This is when this old guy's explained this to me. And, that woman tells one of her friends, which is also the busybody, and then she tells somebody else. And by the time it gets to the end of the block, that man is arrested for doing something with that child he shouldn't have done. And, you know, I'm not going to explain, but we all know what Catholic priests do, okay? And so the gossip gets to that point. And I thought that was a very good explanation, because that makes sense, because that day there was a little girl that was walking down the street. And I saw it happen, and so did a little old man. I think it was an old guy. And he ran up and helped her. I ran up too, and I says, are you okay? A car drove by, and this little girl was walking down the sidewalk across the street from my house. This is when we lived in Palos. And I was a teenager at this time, but an old man ran up and helped the girl. And I think he was one of our neighbors too, as if I recall. But as the car drove by, it pinched a rock. Now, have you ever seen hard rubber tires pinch a rock? What'll happen to that rock is pretty amazing. It'll shoot it like a bullet, or like a lawnmower can shoot it. It'll just shoot it out, but it got this little girl right in the throat. It got her right in the neck, you know, right in front of me. Well, she was about 30 feet away. So I ran over there, and she's crying, and the old guy ran over there. And so it just reminded me what I heard earlier when I was a little kid. I'm looking at the old man. He gives her a peck on the cheek, and he pats her on the head. And I'm thinking, wow, that old guy told me this back when I was like 8 or 9 years old. And I'm hoping to pray there wasn't no busybodies looking at it, because they'll think that he beat her up or something. And so, anyway, when we reread the verse with the one trailing, and I think this is why Brother Damon shared it, or was going to, let's read 36 and 37. It says, but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. As any prophet in the word that came into the presence of the Lord has attested to, the overwhelming experience caused them to realize their own weakness and unworthiness. In Isaiah chapter 6, verse 5, we see the prophet saying, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. All of us are undone, in that we are all sinners, saved by grace. We all need to examine ourselves in the light of heaven, so that we can see this truth more clearly. Is what we do down here acceptable in our Father's kingdom? This is what we have to understand and contemplate. I mean, if so, if what we're doing is acceptable to him, well, then if it's not, we need to stop it immediately without question. We just need to. That's a no-brainer. Because a lot of people say, well, yeah, that's if I'm going to heaven, or if the world's really coming to an end, or if Jesus really exists, kind of a thing. But, you know, if you're here, you're in church, you understand the times we live in. You know what's going on all around us. I mean, even the final prophecy of Hosea, where all the animals, the bugs, the insects, the fish, the birds, they're all dying. Just like Hosea said, before Jesus gets here, they're just going to drop like flies out of the skies. And I mean, look at my strange animal deaths page. I can't even keep up with keeping it up. And I literally have thousands of articles to put on there, but I just don't have the time. There are websites out there that have more articles than I do. I just get, and when I get a chance, I update it. And like I said, that's one of the final prophecies. But also look around at the laws that are being stripped away from Americans. Because here, this country is the first country that's going to have the mark of the beast enforced. We're always the trailblazer, if you will. Everybody wants to do like the Americans do. And there's a reason for that, because there's so much sin here. And everybody that entices the world. The world is enticed by the sin. And so we need, like, if there's anything, if what we do down here is is acceptable to the Father, well, then continue. But if not, you know, we have to stop what we're doing immediately and understand what time it is. Because even if Jesus doesn't come back in our lifetime, which all signs, and I'm not setting any dates, but it looks like, I mean, he says we can't know the day or the hour, but we could certainly know the season. And it looks extremely, extremely close, especially with now they have all the technology needed to enforce the mark of the beast. That's been here for about 20 years, actually 10 years, if you think about the way they're doing this, the satellite and the drones and the ability to go back in time, not literally go back in time, but they have satellites staring, beaming down on, well, they showed it and they tested it in New York City where they can actually map out any section of the city they want and say, okay, go back to last year, December 13th, and they could see who was walking on the street at that day, and they zoom in and they get the faces and everything. That way, like if you're in a court of law and you're saying, oh, no, I was nowhere near that area on that day. Well, okay, let's check it out. And they have the technology to see where you're at. And then because Chicago did it first, I'm pretty sure New York did it too, but Chicago did it where all the CRT closed circuit televisions in all the stores and the alleys and stuff like that, they're just for the stores, especially in the loop, are all connected now with the police cameras that are on all the street corners. So now you're walking down the street or you're walking to a building, they can follow you wherever you go now. And so all the technology is here. So if we're not doing what we should be doing, we got to stop immediately without question. Ask the Lord to help you if you're having issues in certain areas where the temptations is too great. And ask your brothers and sisters to pray for you and with you. And fast and pray too. I mean, after all, none of us know we're going to breathe our last anyway. I mean, do we really want to go, you know, forego heaven altogether and it's all its blessings because of one stupid little habit that we know is sinful? Are they really that enticing that we're willing to give up eternal life? I mean, how many of us love life? We all do, right? It's exciting. Yeah, it could be a real drag sometimes and all the problems that are going on in the world and all the trials and tribulations, yeah. But all of us would hold on to life with tooth and nail. I mean, with white knuckle grip, right? Now imagine eternal life where there isn't any trials and tribulations. There is no sickness. There's no tornadoes ripping down the road and tornado warnings every 5 minutes and wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes and all these. No. You think life down here is exciting. The real meaning of life where we never die, that's where we're headed. You really want to give up all that where you're going to be overwhelmingly happy, which blows the doors off of what you think is happiness down here? You really want to give all that up because that joint tastes so good or that beer is amazing or that bloody hamburger is just, especially when it's got a bacon wrapped on it. I mean, there's all sorts of ways that you can give up and allow the devil to have that control over you. I mean, the vision given to Isaiah that brought him to his knees to declare himself undone represents the condition of God's people in the last days. As we look by faith into the Holy of Holies, and we see the work of love performed by our Lord Jesus Christ in the heavenly sanctuary, we can see that we are also a people of unclean lips. We're all undone. And many of us, because of our desire to speak those idle words, when we look at what our Lord did for us on Calvary, and then look at how we gossip, backbite, brag, or even joke around in ways that glorify a lie, and we then understand clearly what Jesus said in Matthew 12:36. You're going to have to give an account for every idle word. And especially if you sow discord among brethren, that is frightening to say the least, especially if you're going after an elder without going after the elder as biblical jurisprudence puts forth in 1 Timothy. If you're not doing it the way the Bible says to do it, you are in extreme, utter danger. You don't touch the Lord's anointed. And anybody that's standing on a pulpit is considered anointed by the Lord. And you don't touch your brothers and sisters in Christ either, because then you're going to be tagged an accuser of the brethren. And you know who got that name first. That's the enemy of souls. All of us need to take stock in self and humble our souls before the Lord. That bow, that rainbow of promise, is still above the throne. I don't care what the homosexual world says the rainbow's about. The original rainbow above the throne of our heavenly God is still there. That promised blessing that was placed upon Isaiah will be upon us if we are obedient to the core. I hope and pray that you are blessed by what you heard this Sabbath day. I'll be back in a minute.